y'all would, let's go to Leviticus chapter 23. I've got all kind of stuff up here with numbers, and but here's the deal. What I wanted to put is, as we go through this, Yahweh is a Elohim, and Elohim is Hebrew for God or gods, but Yahweh is the Elohim of power and mercy. Now, I want to show something in this because we're talking about Passover and Pesach. And what I want us to see, and we're going to get down hopefully to Chronicles, and I'm going to use this as an example. But guys, it's just like the very first song we sang. It's the blood of Yeshua that breaks the chains. Amen. And here's another thing that I really believe. And it's this. Why do we keep fighting battles that we've already been won? Amen. And these times and these seasons, these are appointed times. Shabbat is an appointed time. He sets the table. And this is one thing that I don't want us to ever forget, Terry. It's one of the things that you said. The Father sets the table. He always sets the table. He tells us when to show up. He's the one that sets the appointed times and seasons. Guess what? He's going to tell Yeshua when to return. He told his own disciples. He said, I don't even know the day and the hour. He says, what you need to be about the Father's business and not worry about when the kingdom. How many times do you think they always ask you, Yeshua, is it time? Is it time? Is it time? They were ready. But do you know what really? They were ready to be out from under oppression. They were under oppression from the Roman rule. They were tired of it. That's what they were looking for, was freedom. But they was looking for a physical freedom. But Yahweh and Yeshua was first trying to set them free spiritually. Because all you would do is, I think, and I'm going to paraphrase this, Yahweh wiped out the people in Noah's day and left eight, and left two of the unclean and seven of the pairs of the clean. But do you know what he said when it was all said and done? It's just going to happen again. It's just going to roll right back and happen again. But I'm going to make a covenant with the earth, and I'm not going to flood it and destroy it like I did before. But the thing about it is, and we talked about this last week. Last week what we talked about was this, that Yeshua was slain before the foundation of the world. If Yeshua is slain before the foundation of the world, think about it. The Father, before he ever created anything on the first day, he knew what was going to happen. And what it was going to cost him to have fellowship with us. Now, guys, if we can grasp this, I want us to grasp this through this season. Yahweh knew it was going to cost his son his life before he ever created us. Before he ever had anything go in creation, it says Yeshua was slain before the foundations of the world. He already knew what was going to happen because Yahweh is in eternity. We're governed by time, but he's never been governed by time and never will be. But we are. And then one day at the end, we're not going to be governed by time anymore also. But until that time comes, there's times and seasons. And there's times and seasons that he works in. He works in because why? He's trying to tell us something. You know, during the time of the Exodus, when they had the first Passover, during that time, they took a lamb. They slew the lamb at twilight, but it was to show forth something in the future. And then after that in Exodus 12 happened, then guess what? While they were in the wilderness, they kept memorializing everything that they were doing. But not only that, they were also now starting to do the Torah giving and the Holy Spirit giving in the mountain of Shavuot, which is Pentecost. But guess what? We're still to do something called Tabernacles, Sukkot, that we do. And guess what? We're doing it, getting ready for his second coming. Amen? So this is what times and seasons, and this is what I believe he's restoring in this day, is he's restoring back to his people times and seasons. Why? When he came to Moses at this time, he said, this is the first day of the first month for you. There's going to come a time before he returns, he's going to come to his body, and he's going to say, you need to really get ready. I'm not telling you the hour, but I'm telling you it's close. And it's close. And you're going to know it. You're going to sense. Me and Dirt was talking the other day. Think about this. Yeshua, Moses, and Elijah were on the Mount of what? Transfiguration. Now, the spirit of Moses and the spirit of Elijah came down and was with Yeshua. And Peter said, man, this is awesome. How did Peter know who these other two were? They didn't have a photo album. How did Peter know that that was Moses and Elijah? Think about it. That is the power of our Elohim. That's the power of our God. That's the power and the revelation that whenever... See, I can't explain everything. Hansi, we can't explain everything. How did Peter know that that was Moses and Elijah? And he said, you know what? This is a great thing. I'll build three tents and we'll live here forever. Yahweh, and it says, and while Peter was speaking, Yahweh interrupted him. He said, this is my son. You know, in other words, Peter, we're not tabernacling yet. That ain't time yet. We have Pesach to go through first. We can't tabernacle until the end. But why did Elijah, why did Moses come at the Mount Transfiguration? Because the whole book here is about the law and the prophets. He sent the law and the prophets to testify this is the Son of Elohim. This is why he was at the Mount of Transfiguration. It was to show forth. Peter didn't understand it at the time. But after the Holy Spirit fell at Shavuot, after the resurrection, then Peter was enlightened. This is what it meant when I saw this on that mountain. This is what's going to happen to us. We go through his word over and over and over. We practice, we go through Pesach, we go through Shavuot, we count the Omer. We have unleavened bread. We'll be teaching about that. We physically here, we get the leaven out of our house. We get our leaven out and we eat unleavened bread for 7 days and we do not eat leaven for 7 days. Why? Because Father said so. He said so. And why do we do it? But guess what? When we do it, he starts revealing things to us in our life. See, Yeshua was unleavened. He had no sin in him. Most of the time, not all the time, but most of the time in Scripture, leaven represents sin. So he's telling us for 7 days, there's 6 days you work, 7 days you rest. You have seven means completion. So what he's doing to me and you, he's saying, get the sin out and keep it out. That's what he's saying. But he knows that we're a work in progress. And this is what these seasons are about. Passover, we're getting ready. We're examining ourselves to make sure that something hadn't crept back in our lives. Because, guys, what do we always say? The easiest person to deceive is who? Ourselves. If we knew we were deceived, we wouldn't be deceived. I can guarantee you, I can see where you've been deceived in areas. But guess what? You can see where I've been deceived in areas a lot easier than I can. That's just the nature because, you know what? I'm just a glowworm. I have no faults. You know what I'm saying? But the Father gives us a wife to point these things out to us to let us know that, hey, high and mighty, I'm just like a balloon with helium. You know, I'm just up here. But she pulls me back down, and she puts regular air in it, and then when you drop it, it just bounces on the ground. But this is what the Father does. The Father knows, and we're going to see this in David in just a moment. In Chronicles. So in Leviticus, I just want to read it. Verse 4, it says, these are the appointed feasts of Yahweh. So guess what? These feasts wasn't given. They were given to Moses, and they were given to the Jewish people, or to Israel. But not only to them, there was a mixed multitude. The nations came out from Egypt also. The word, the Torah, this is for everybody. This was never for just a little four no more type situation. It was for the nations to start with. And it's to be a holy convocation, which you shall proclaim, talking about us, at the appointed times for them. The Father is saying there are appointed times because he does things on his timetable. Because everything has to line up. We're so used to a McDonald's fast food religion. Ride through there, get a toss a burger. You know what I'm saying? I guarantee you, if you could set up Brian, maybe that's what we need to do. Go set up a little old toss a burger stand on the interstate. Let them call it in. When they come by, we just toss it in the window. But make sure they get their credit card reader. Make sure they paid. If they don't, they just going to drive on by without their burger. people are in so much of a hurry, they need to slow down. The Father, whenever we slow down, what do you think fasting's about? Fasting's about you slowing down, slowing way down. And the longer you fast, the slower you get. You know what I'm saying? That's what that's about. The Father, we get so, we just rush through things, and I don't want us to rush through Passover. I said that last week. I stumbled all over the place last week trying to say it. I don't want us to rush through these seasons. I want us to soak it in because the Father wants to do something in our lives because He is preparing us. He is preparing a bride for His Son. He don't need any old woman. And I ain't saying it ugly. I'm talking about us all being the body of Messiah or the woman, okay? He needs a beautiful bride. You know what? It takes work. It takes work because you know what? We were stained. We were tattered. But do you know what? His blood has cleansed us. He has cleansed us. He has put a white wedding dress on us as His body. This is what these seasons are getting us ready for our wedding day. That's what these feasts are about. Because He deserves an awesome, spotless, beautiful bride. Amen. And His word, as we get, this is what Hans, as you get this word in you, it changes us. It changes us into His image and not the image of man. But the more we try to replace His times and seasons with our good ideas of when we think we ought to do it, because what are we really telling Him? Father, I know you had some good ideas, but our ideas are a little bit better. Because you know what? If we can do it this way, you know what? I think this would make you happy. You know what He says? Just do this. This makes me happy. This is what makes me happy. This is what brings me joy. Just do what I ask you to do. So these are appointed times. That's why they're so important. In the first month, on the 14th day on the month of, at twilight, does it not say it again? This is Yahweh's Passover. So I want us to really drill this home. This is not Jewish Passovers. These are not Moses' Passovers. These are not Christian Passovers. This Passover, this time, belongs to the Father. And He is inviting us to His table. Amen? Because I promise you, when you hear that last trump, you don't want to miss that appointment. You don't want to miss that invitation. But you know where it starts? It starts here. You can't jump to the end. There's a process. Look, we've accepted Yeshua. He has cleansed our heart. He has regenerated us. But He's renewing this stinking thinking. He's trying to take this, renew this, to line up with this. Because when this lines up with this, then the body will line up. The flesh will line up. But until, if we can't line up with this in our mind, guess what? We're going to still do what we do. It still gets us in trouble. And we're going to keep going around the mountain, around the mountain, around the mountain, making the same old bad choices. Remember what we say? The first time you do something wrong, it's a mistake. The second time you do it, it's a choice. And the third time, it's a choice. We keep saying we make the same old mistakes over and over, and that's the easy way out. It's a bad choice. We keep making bad choices over and over. This is why this word is so important. That's why these festivals. He says this in verse 6. He says, on the 15th day in the same month is the Feast of Unleavened Bread, which we will talk about. To who? To Yahweh. So even this whole festival, for 7 days you shall eat unleavened bread. There's something about eating unleavened bread every day during this feast. And there's something about not eating leavened bread. But I will tell you something, that the way it works, the way it works is this, is somehow or another, you're going to be eating in a restaurant or something's going to happen and you're going to pop a French toast in your mouth. And about that time it goes about halfway down, you're going to realize you're at the Feast of Unleavened Bread. Ain't that right, Dirt? Me and Dirt was eating that. We can testify to that. We had that going. We were so excited about it. Man, we're sitting here preaching about unleavened bread. Man, we're at Hokies. We're eating all of our unleavened stuff, and then they happen to throw this big old Texas toast on there, you know? And we're just so righteous. And the next thing you know, that big old dude was right there. I know. Laid it right to the side, but it wasn't long, popped it right in the mouth. And then he blamed me for letting him eat it. He said, old preacher sitting there letting me eat. Don't you know what season we're in? I said, man, get I'm trying to dig it out of his mouth. No, but what I'm saying is this, is the Father's trying to teach us, and you know what he taught us that day? Guess what? You get in a rut. You get in a rut, and you're doing things out of repetition, and he's trying to renew our mind to this word. He's trying to renew it, but sometimes we default to what we're used to doing every day. And that's what he's trying to say. I regenerated your heart, but guess what? I got a lot of work to do. The battlefield is in this mind. It's between these ears. We need to be transformed by the renewing. And that transformation, and I've always said this, how a worm can go to a butterfly, however that works, that's what he's trying to do to us. All you science people that are zoologists and butterflyologists and all of that, however that works, that's what happens. It's a metamorphosis. It's a change. But this is what he's trying to tell you. I can change you. And he gives us the very things in creation to prove that he can change us. And that's how he does it with that. Okay. Verse 8. And I'll finish up with this one here. It says, but you shall present a food offering for 7 days. And this is where today we bring our bodies as living sacrifices. During the time of unleavened bread, when we're ministering to him, we need to make sure that we have a special time when we're eating the unleavened, that we bring ourselves as offerings to him in praise and worship and prayer. And it says, then on the seventh day shall be a holy convocation. You shall do no ordinary work. And I think I skipped probably verse 7. So on the first day and the last day of unleavened bread, we're going to have holy convocations. And that's what we do. We come here as a meeting because these are appointed times. Let's go to Exodus chapter 12. Now, I have some people supposed to have some scriptures. So you can have those ready because instead of us flipping, y'all can just listen. Verse 1 says this, and Yahweh said to Moses and Aaron in the land of Egypt, this month shall be for the beginning of months. This is the first month of the year to you. Tell the congregation of Israel that on the 10th day. Now, this is what I believe. In John 12 through 15, Yeshua rode in on a colt to Jerusalem on the 10th day, whenever he was during that time, because it prophesied back to the prophets, and this was the deal. He went in on the 10th day riding on a colt. On the 14th of that year, he was crucified at twilight. Okay? So, because this is what happens. Tell the congregation of Israel, this is during the time when they were in Egypt coming out, I believe here, and it says, on the 10th day, it says, of the month, every man shall take a lamb according to their father's house, a lamb for a household. Now, who has 1 Corinthians chapter 5, 6, and 8? Cherie, you have that one? So this is what he's saying. Tammy, you'll bring her mic. She's going to read the scripture in 1 Corinthians 5, 6 through 8, and it says this, because he's telling us here on the 10th day, he's saying that we are to take a lamb. Okay, Cherie?
Your boasting is not good. Don't you know the saying, it takes only a little hametz to leaven a whole batch of dough? Get rid of the old hametz so that you can be a new batch of dough, because in reality you are unleavened. For our Pesach lamb, the Messiah, has been sacrificed. So let us celebrate the Seder, not with leftover hametz, the hametz of wickedness and evil, but with the matzah of purity and truth.
So Paul was instructing in Corinthians chapter 5, he was instructing them that whenever you do the Pesach and whenever you're doing unleavened bread, you don't do it with malice, you don't do it with bickering and all that. But he is sharing here that Yeshua, and he's saying that Yeshua is our Passover lamb. John 1:29 says this.
The next day he saw Yeshua coming to him and he said, behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world.
John the Baptist, or Yochanan the Immerser here, whenever Yeshua was coming down to be baptized, Yochanan, John, he recognized him and said, behold, the Lamb of Elohim. So I wanted to tie in and let everybody know that we believe that Yeshua is the Lamb of God. Amen? And that we're not trying to keep laws and commandments. What we're doing is, it's because we believe in the blood, and because we believe he is the Lamb, we get to keep the commandments. He's instructed us to love him by keeping his commandments, but we don't do one to get to the other. It's like what we sang in that song, it's the blood. That's right, it's two different covenants. So what you have is the blood frees us. Because I'm telling you, in the flesh, I've always said this. When you go to a bar, y'all don't go to bars, but if you went to a bar, I'm just asking you a question. I mess y'all up. If you go to a bar, how many Bibles do you see sitting by the peanuts? No. You'd have to bring your own. If there's a Bible at the bar by the peanuts, you'd have to bring your own. So what am I saying? What I'm saying is he's telling us that having a relationship and being in covenant, we have a hunger for this. We have a hunger for his word. But without that transfiguration and without that transformation and without that, you know, as we used to say, our come to Jesus meeting, without that, you don't have a desire for this word. Amen? So you see that you have to have, and that's why I want to make sure that we know, as Paul was saying, that Yeshua is the Lamb, and we are to embrace that. All right, in verse 4 it says this, and if a household is too small for a lamb, then he and his nearest neighbor shall take according to the number of persons, according to what each can eat, that you shall make your count for the lamb. Then he says this, and this is where Mark's going to read in 1 Peter 1:9 in just a second. But this is what the instruction, he says, your lamb shall be what? Without blemish. Mark, if you'll read 1 Peter. And Peter says this.
But with the precious blood of Yeshua, like that of a lamb, without blemish or spot.
So he's showing that Yeshua is that unblemished lamb. Everything that they were doing here, they did physically, but it was to point to something in the future. It was to point that there was going to be, Moses said it. Moses said, there's going to be a prophet like me one day. There's going to be a prophet like me that's going to come, but he's not going to just deliver you from Egypt. He's going to deliver you from your sins. He's going to deliver you and set you free, not only you, but the nations. That's why Galatians 3:16 talked about that the promise was made between Abraham and the seed or his offspring, which is Abraham and Yeshua. Whenever they went through the pieces in Genesis, whenever, I think it's probably Genesis 15 or sometime, whenever Abraham had to cut those sacrifices and he laid them in half, and then he kept the buzzards away, he kept everything away, all of a sudden he just got wore out and he fell asleep. Then it set a fire pot and a smoking. It went through. It walked through. That's Yeshua. He's walking through because that was the promise. There was a covenant cut that day. There was a covenant that was cut that day between Abraham and Yeshua. And that's what it was all about. And this is being ratified, even though it's being spoken of and prophesied. The Father is painting the picture through the ages to bring us up to Yeshua. And then it says, and you shall keep it on the 14th day of this month, and the whole assembly and the congregation shall kill their lamb at twilight. So already it's speaking that Yeshua was going to be killed. I thought this was very interesting before we go to John. If you notice this in the scriptures, in Leviticus also, when it tells us how we're to do Sukkot, it said on the first day, this is the first day, so it's about counting. So you count on the 10th day, you selected a lamb. On the 14th, you kill the lamb. The next day, and you eat it and roast it fire. And then the next, you had 7 days of unleavened bread with a holy convocation here. I thought it was very interesting at the very end. You start off with blowing of trumpets, the blowing of trumpets. You have the 10 days of awe, and then you have the Day of Atonement. This is when the high priest had to repent before all the nations, and then he laid repentance for all of the people. And then starting on the 15th, started Sukkot. This is where we have our ingathering, where he's ingathering the nations all the way to here, and then after we have the last great day. Oh, it is beyond awesome, because what he's doing is he's not just throwing numbers and days out there to us. He's trying to say, I'm trying to make this as easy. I'm giving you a coloring book, and that's about as easy as I can get it. Color within the lines. And this is what he's doing. He's laying these days out, because guess what? We know that there's going to be a trumpet blast. But guess what? We celebrate the Feast of Trumpets. You know, so he's telling you the time and season when he's coming back for the ingathering. And do you know that Day of Atonement is a national repentance? This is a time where the whole nation repent. And then, like I said, we go into the in gathering, and that's, you know, that's the awesome, I mean, it's just an awesome time. So I just really wanted to throw that out there. Tammy and myself were talking about that during these sessions. All right, let's go to John real quick. John 10, 14 through 18. Boy, I'm doing a speed teaching. I just wanted you to see this in John 10. I'm going to start 14 through 18. Because I want to show you something. They didn't nobody kill Yeshua. You understand what I'm saying? Yeshua said, I lay my life down. And this is where the power, this is where the power of Yahweh comes in. For a man to be able to say, nobody taken. I want you guys to see this in Scripture, but I want you to see the nations too. It said, I am the good shepherd. I know my own and my own know me. In other words, I have an intimate relationship. Like Adam knew Eve, I have an intimate relationship, and they have an intimate relationship with me. Okay? Just as the Father knows me and I know the Father, just as that relationship, I lay down my life for the sheep. Look what it says next. I have what? Other sheep that are not of this fold. Guys, that's the nations. See, he said he went to the Jews first. He said, I come for the lost tribes of Israel. He had to remarry. He had to die because the Father, through this separation that happened during Solomon's day, after Solomon died where you had the kingdom split, he had to die and he had to bring that relationship, he had to marry that relationship back together because that's where the promises were made. To Abraham, he's remembering, he's not forgetting Abraham. He's saying, Abraham, you and your seed, and in you all the nations will be blessed. But he had to make sure that he healed that relationship first. And that's why he was telling these people, because you know what? At this time, at this moment, whenever he was telling them this, the Jews hated the Gentiles. Not only did they hate them, they hated Israel. They hated their brother, who was the Samaritans, who were Assyrian and Ephraim mixed. They hated each other. They did not like each other. You think we got problems with denominations today? This is where a lot of it started. So you see here, then this is why he said this. He said, right now, I'm going for the lost sheep of Israel. But look, he's letting them know before the Holy Spirit falls, he's saying, I have other sheep that are not of this fold. Because he's telling them, guess what? The nations are coming in, and you got to teach the nations. Because the nations don't know the Torah. The nations don't know the Torah. They don't know the feast. You know what? They have idols. They've got all of this idolatry. They have been celebrating all everything under the sun, but they don't know Passover. They don't know my Torah. They don't know my ways. And so he's already preparing them. I have other sheep that are not of this fold. I must bring them also that they will listen to my voice so that what? They will be two flocks and one shepherd. No, it says they're going to be one flock. Look, the Jews and the Christians has got to just get over it. There's going to be one flock and one shepherd. And the shepherd is Yeshua HaMashiach. Yeshua the Messiah is the shepherd. And we have to know that we're going to be one flock. Right now, we're a flock of chickens that's pecking at everything. But sooner or later, we're going to have to learn to quit pecking each other and peck the feed. Amen? That's what we got to learn to do. This is the process that he's trying to teach us. One shepherd and one flock. For this reason, the Father loves me, and this is why I wanted you to see also. I lay down my life that I may take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of my own accord. I have authority to lay it down, and I have authority to take it up again. This charge I have received from my Father. So I just wanted you to know that in this Passover season, this is the love of a son. This is the love of a son because he laid down his life, and I believe this, for 3 days and three nights. He laid in that grave, separated from his Father until the resurrection. Now, how all of that Godhead thing works, I can't explain it all. But I'm just telling you this. that he had a promise from his Father that if I lay down my life, I can take it back up again. But do you know what? There was no sin found in him. And when he was unleavened, and by that, he has the power to raise it up. Do you know what? If Adam wouldn't have, and Eve wouldn't have got into that situation with the forbidden tree, you know, how would it be today in our life? It would be eternity, really, with us. I mean, we wouldn't have all of the stuff that we go through. But do you know what? It didn't happen that way. And the Father would just tell me, get over it. And here's the deal. I've given you my word. I've given you this. This is what we're going to do. I think Hannah, I don't know if it was her or somebody else, said they saw a sign down here. It said, you know, I didn't promise you a rose garden. He said, I promised you help getting through the thorns. And that's really the way life is. And the thing is he's going to help us. Sometimes there's thorns that show up in our life. He will help us get through those. But those are there to do what? Get rid of the extra baggage. Most of us, Mark and I, you know, when we go hunting, we go through and he seismograph and doing surveying and all that. He goes through woods and cutting and all that all the time. I don't know how he don't come in here cut up all the time. He must have a big ghillie suit. But the thing about it is, I'm telling you, if you go hunting and you have to, and knowing, Brian, when you shoot that deer, you know he done run in that briar patch. And the thing is you ain't got dirt there to help you go get him out. You know what I'm saying? And then you got to go in there enjoying it. But you know what? Sometimes to get the prize, you're just going to get cut up. And so you just have to know that's part of the process. And that's where we're at right now. Let me see what we can do on time. I'm going to start this, and I'm only going to go just a little bit, and then I'm going to come back and start there next week. Guys, you remember this in Ezekiel 14, because I'm just going to tell you this part right here. There's four altar judgments. Yahweh always operates in these altar judgments. Famine, wild beasts, pestilence, and the sword. These are the four altar judgments. The Father don't need a nuclear weapon. Our heaven, he don't need that stuff. I can tell you, he can shut off rain. We starve to death. He can bring pestilence. During the time whenever he brought Nebuchadnezzar to straighten out a situation, he didn't want to kill them all, but he brought them into captivity to preserve them, because if he didn't preserve them in the sin that they were in, he would have had to kill them all. But his mercy, he brought them into captivity, preserved them that he could bring them back. It's just the way you look at it. But yet he used the sword to bring judgment there. In this chapter here in Chronicles, he uses famine and he uses pestilence and he uses the sword. Sometimes he uses all, but this is what I want to do. Let's go to Chronicles 21. I just want to throw this out to you. I wished I could get through this whole thing here. This was just... But I want to show you something. Sin. The lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life. Everything else is a symptom. Adultery is a symptom of lust. Murder is a symptom of pride. All of these things that you'll see in the commandments, idolatry is a symptom. What is it? It's a symptom that I want what I want, when I want, and how I want it. And when I'm tired of it, I'll throw it off and I'll get something else to replace it. Because guess what? You will never fill up your tank of lust. It ain't there. It's a bottomless pit. And the Father knows it's a bottomless pit. So the thing about it is, you can do well. David done very well most of the time. Did David ever sin? He sure stumped his foot a few times. Remember what we said about Moses, David, and Paul? What did they have in common? They were all murderers. Moses killed somebody. David killed somebody. And Paul was standing there when he was the one who went and got Stephen. So you got three people that have, and you don't think that Yahweh's mercy's great when you repent? And not only to do that, but to use these men like he used them. Because you know what? He knew their heart. He knew their heart and how it would be if they had the love of Yeshua flowing out of them. But when you got the love of pride or lust flowing out of you, you will do things that you will never think that you would do. Amen. So at this time, and this is what I believe that was going on in David's life, look what it says. It says, then Satan stood against Israel, and he did something to David. he incited or he enticed David to number Israel. Now, when we go through our Torah portions, you know that in Exodus 30, you're not to number. But if you are to number, which he said, Moses, you can number, but when you do, but for each one, you have to bring a ransom. And if you don't do it, I'll send a plague. So David here, he is incited by Satan. But when we get in this story, you're going to see that Satan is no more used. Yahweh doesn't need Satan to do what Yahweh needs to do. And we'll see that next week. But the thing is Satan enticed David to number Israel. Now, Joab, I'll just read this section here, says this. So David said to Joab and the commanders of the army, he says, go number Israel from Beersheba to Dan and bring me a report that I may know their number. And Joab said this, may Yahweh add to his people 100 times as many as they are. Are they not my Lord's king? All of them my Lord's servants? Why then should my Lord require this? Look what he says next in this. Why should this cause a guilt for Israel? Joab is saying this. Remember the covenant with Abraham? How do you number the stars in the heaven? How do you number the sands of the sea? How do you number that? What are you doing? Are you think now that your faith and your security is in numbers? It's never been in numbers to this day. So evidently, what I'm seeing here to start with in David's life is David is feeling good. Life is good, evidently. But all of a sudden, he gets to a place to where Satan enticed him to number Israel. And this is where I'm going to leave us today. And we will see the victory next week. But here's what I'm saying is this, guys. It is Satan's job to entice you. That's what he's created to do. Satan's job is created because remember, Yeshua, when he come up out of the baptism, what did it say? The Holy Spirit led him into the wilderness to be tempted by Satan. Satan tempted him. He tested him. And he passed the test because he kept saying, it is written. Guys, when Satan comes to you and he entices you, you give him the word. It's what Hansi was saying at the beginning. If the word's not in here, you can't give it to him. But you get the word in him. That's what we're talking about, Rachel. Teaching these children to do what? Memorize these scriptures. Memorize these scriptures because when they get older and they're enticed, guess what? Quote one of them. So what? It's out of context. Quote the word to him. He don't even want the word quoted to him. Quote the word to him. Quote what you got built up in here because Yeshua quoted. But what did, and we talked about this a little bit last week. What happened? Satan left him for a more opportune time. Understand, as long as me and you are breathing, there's always going to be a more opportune time that Satan's going to come to entice. This is why the Father brings us to Passover during this season, because we have Passover, unleavened bread, counting the Omer, all the way to Shavuot, which is a long period of time. He works with us. These are a big set of appointed times. And then we go about our business, and then all of a sudden we have Sukkot. The thing is he knows not to leave us alone to ourselves for too long. If he leaves us alone, I'm telling you, if he left us alone for a solid year, if I didn't see you for a year and you didn't see me, I guarantee you we wouldn't recognize each other. There's no telling what we would be in. If we were not in fellowship, if we didn't have God's word, if we didn't have Yahweh's word in us for a solid year, what do you think we would all look like? Look like death for sure. You see what I'm saying? So the Father knows us. He created us. He had to confuse our language because he knew the power of the tongue. He had to confuse the language to keep us from totally destroying ourselves. Our Heavenly Father and his angels has worked overtime. That's why he never slumbers or sleeps. Good thing we do. You know what I'm saying? So, guys, that's what this season's about. And we'll pick back up here in Chronicles. If you want to read the story, it'd be great. I thought it was really awesome. But the thing about it is I'm using this as an example of the very power of Yahweh. But then, whenever he set himself to destroy, he did destroy some, but he relented. This is why David, anytime something come down on David, he chose Yahweh every time, because he knew he was an Elohim of mercy. He said, please don't put me in the hands of men. These are ruthless, no conscience. He understood that, but he knew, even though I will suffer, but he has mercy. He has mercy. And that's where the mercy is in our life today. That's why Passover, because whenever all of us, we deserve what we get because of sin. The wages of sin is death. But guess what? His mercy relented. He sent his son to die on that torture stake and give his life. He took the beating. And that's why John is so important. Because when he went through, now look, guys, when he goes through and they torture him, they spit on him, they accuse him, they mock him, they pull his beard out. When it comes to a place where people say that you couldn't recognize him, by the time he went from that midnight until the time he got and he hung on that torture stake, and you can't recognize him, and he had the power, to bring down 10,000 angels and just say, you know what? I'm done with this. You know what I'm saying? What were we thinking? Is there any way we can get this group to the other side? And you know what? He's still saying that today. He has a fivefold ministry that's out there trying to say, guys, let's hang in there. We got to get to the other side. We got to keep going. We don't know when he's going to return. But whether we die or whether we're here when he returns, we got to get this group moving. We got to keep the sheep herded together and keep them from the other side of the fence and keep the wolves out. And trying to get the body of Messiah to a place that even in the resurrection and those who, you know, are alive and remain, that he has a spotless bride, that he has a beautiful bride that he's going to marry in that day. Because he's going to be ruling and reigning over us one day. Amen? And I'm looking so forward to that. I'm telling you, no more questions. I know everybody says we got questions. I'm going to tell you, it's just like this. How did Peter know who these men were? At the moment when we're glorified, all the questions are answered. You're going to know. You just going to know. How did Peter know? I don't know. He knew. But that's just the way it has to be. It is going to be a lifetime of eternity with him. But the thing is we got to get there. And I'm telling you, it's a journey. Amen? Let's pray. Father, we just come to you as we close this section. Father, I just pray that as we're heading into this Passover season, Father, again, like we prayed last week, that we do not take your appointed times and seasons for granted. Father, that as we do this year after year, we do it as a memorial. But Father, we have to internalize it. It has to be precious to each one of us. It has to be individually for each one of us, this lamb, Father, your son, that we don't ever trample the blood of Yeshua under feet. Father, we know that if we do, that if we have sinned, that we have an advocate with the Father, that we have a high priest that's sitting at your right hand, making intercession for all of your people, for me on up. Father, I thank you for that intercessor. I thank you that Yeshua's work is still active and alive today. Because when we make mistakes, we can come before our throne and we can come before our King and we can repent to you in his name. And you are faithful and just to forgive us. Father, that's a mercy that I know that I have never extended that great mercy to people, and I should. And I know that's what you're trying to teach us. Father, that's hard. But Father, you showed us that no matter what we've done, no matter what the most wicked person on this earth has done, if he can repent, if he repents, how you are faithful to forgive him. That's beyond my comprehension. But you didn't ask me to understand it. You just asked me to walk in faith and believe it. And I'm believing it, Father. And I thank you, Father, that you're not through with us, that you're not through with these people in the box up here, our children, our cousins, our loved ones, Father, that we know that this lost, that little baby that we prayed for this morning, Father, that we have in that box, Father, that has a tumor, Father, we know the power of the resurrection. We know that you can eradicate that tumor in Yeshua's name right now, that you can heal that baby. This is what we're here for. This is what it's about. It's about, Father, where we would cry out to you and cry out to you, and no matter what we've done, that you would hear the prayers of your people. Father, we're crying out and interceding for this little one. Father, that you would show mercy and favor in the lives of this family and heal this child right now in Yeshua's name. Father, we're looking for another article to come out in the paper where the doctors, it says, we don't know what happened, but we know what was there and what's not there now. Father, we're looking forward to that. We as a people here grasp onto your truth. Father, it's not a thing to where we just come up here and we expect that this is what we have to say. Father, this is what we desire to say. We desire to say your words. We desire to pray your words. We desire for healing to take place in all people. So, Father, we just thank you, and I just ask you to bless your people. Bless us during this time and this season that we're in. Father, that you would continue, Father, to mature and to complete us in Yeshua's name. Amen.
One with the staff in their hand. Children will play in the streets of the city. Joy will be heard once again. I am telling all the songs.